This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, everybody. Jason here. Third and final conversation with Mrs. Deirdre Jones from the University of Toledo, Edward H. Smith School of Professional Sales. See, I got it much better. Mrs. Deirdre, are you ready to talk about the future of sales?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's dive in. People want to find out more of your background. They can check the show notes. They can check part two. They could check part one. If you haven't done that, you should have. Anyway, shame on you. But make sure to go back after you're done listening or watching this, because there's so many things that we talked about in those two 30-minute segments. I usually shoot for like 20 to 25 minutes. Can always tell when it's a great conversation, because then we just keep going and going. And luckily, there's no podcast police and there's no rules and we can do whatever we want. So here we are. And let's talk about the future of sales. So when I think about it, I think of two different sides. I think of what buyers are going to want more of or less of, and then what salespeople could be or should be doing more of or less of. So let's talk about the buyers first, because that will help the people in sales hopefully understand what they're dealing with. What do buyers now, already, or in the future want more of from a salesperson and or less of from a salesperson?
Yeah, I think buyers, they're, you know, we touched on this in one of the other episodes, is just they want more transparency. They want more help in terms of prioritizing and getting and going through information. There is just so much out there. And so it's hard for them to kind of figure out, you know, what information is more accurate, more relevant to their situation, because there's just this ongoing, there's just more and more out there. So I think buyers are going to be looking for more help on trying to figure out who actually knows and understands the situation better and is in a better position to help and coach. But I also think buyers, they're done. I mean, they've been done with folks that are just not there to actually like help and be authentic and sincere. It's like, look, like, because the thing is, everyone is being asked to do more with less. And when you look at the numbers leaving the workforce, the numbers going into the workforce, there's just not enough people. Right. And so people have always been wearing multiple hats. People will continue to wear multiple hats, and there's just no time. And then there's just no patience or tolerance for folks that aren't going to be able to check off as many boxes as they can with working with them. And so they want someone that's going to be more committed to helping them. So I think that's from a buyer's perspective. Those are the things they're going to be looking for. And if certain things are more mechanical, I think they're going to be looking for, on a certain level, certain things more automated, where they don't necessarily have to deal with an individual. Maybe they're dealing with a website or some AI to get stuff done. But I mean, and there's definitely not like a black and white. That's a very gray area and ever evolving. But I can absolutely see buyers in situations where they're like, I don't even really need to talk to somebody for some of this stuff. I can just, you know, put in a prompt and get what I need, or answer a couple of questions and then get directed to the right thing. But that's, once again, that's going to vary. I think the less complex a solution happens to be, and the lighter the implications are for implementing whatever said solution is going to be, you will absolutely see buyers gravitating towards more automation and more AI type sellers to help them with that, because uncertain things can be automated. Certain things they can be. And so I think, you know, businesses are going to be looking to do that, but, you know, but it's where it makes sense, because it is absolutely not a one size fits all. So,
well, and I think within what you said there, I think what's important for sellers to understand is, what are they selling? And how complex does that feel to buyers? Now, obviously, not every buyer is going to be the same, but how complex does it feel to them? Not how complex do you think, or what your company told you, or this and that. Like, from the buyer's perspective, how do they feel about buying your solution, your type of solution, and what's their awareness? Because for the longest time, I've said the same thing, which is, there's lots of information out there. They don't need you for information anymore. They want you for wisdom. But what I love, and what you said too, is that there's too much information. Mm-hmm. And so they want the help in parsing through all that, because it's just overwhelming. Sometimes you just want something. I could do all the research, but literally I'd like to talk to someone so you can just tell me, so that, right, I can just know what I need to know. And I think salespeople understanding the spectrum of buyers who want help, want guidance, they still want info, or they want nothing because they're either too busy or just tired of salespeople, right?
Yeah.
And so from a buyer, from a sales perspective, how do you then translate that into what they should be doing more of or less of?
Yeah, I think with sales, it's constant education, constant training on what's out there, what's working, what's not working, why not, to what extent, how can you measure it, how you can identify it. I mean, it's the having good analytical skills is only going to get even more important. Having good quant skills and, you know, financial impact, it's just going to become more and more important for that. Because as a sales professional, you know, and you touched on this, if what you're doing isn't as complex and what you're doing as a sales professional isn't quite as much of a value add, like, you're probably going to be out of a job at some point in time. Like, it's more than likely a matter of time. So, but then again, there's certain, and that may or may not be a function of you as a sales professional, it might just be a function of like what you are selling, like the product, the service, the solution. It's just not as complex. And so I think as a sales professional, we need to be, assuming you want to still work in sales, but it's also, there's different types of salespeople, right? Some people really enjoyed those quick sorts of interactions, things that were a little bit easier. And so maybe it is time for you to pick a new seat on the bus, right? It might be time for you to be like, I need to find something else. But for those people that really enjoy sales, they enjoy teaching people how to buy, they enjoy that, you know, leading the change and stuff like that, then we need to be focusing on your analytical skills, on your listening skills, on your ability to, you know, to challenge people on what's going on, and things, because those are the skills that are going to continue to be important and an asset in being in professional selling. And there's lots of great tools that are out there to help you from an enablement perspective to get some of those insights. And on some level, there's almost too many of those tools, right? So like, just as like buyers are overwhelmed, I think sales professionals can be overwhelmed. You know, there's some colleagues that I have that are like really great experts in the fields of sales enablement. And I remember being at a conference and like they threw up a slide that had all the logos of all these different sales enablement tools. And I was like, oh my God, stop, right? You know, and I think, and the fact that I used to sell software, like I remember, you know, this whole time period of like best of breed, right? Like you would have like the best manufacturing apps and the best HR and the best CRM and the best financials, right? And then the pendulum. And I think that's where we've been at with like sales enablement tools, and just like sales is like, oh, well, there's this great tool if you're gonna be doing this on social selling. There's this great tool for like a follow-up perspective, you know, and there's all these great tools for this or that. And let me fix this hole, fill this gap. And now I think we're going to start to see that pendulum where it's like more of like, instead of best of breed, you know, platforms that are more integrated, where it's like, Lord, like, yes, at the end of the day, it would be great to have all of those things, but let's be real. You're not going to use all those things, right? Like, you're not going to use all that stuff. Like, you're probably going to use like, you know, these five things, right? So let's make sure these five things are totally, you know, fantastic and go from there. And so, cause I think that's also salespeople, there's just so many different things that they have available to them, that it's going to be, it's going to be hard for them to figure out, kind of like where to focus themselves. But I think it's the important thing with sales is just constantly being a student and staying abreast on things in your industry and in your field. And that's, you know, and hopefully there's things that, you know, your organization is doing to help you along with that. But there's also a lot of, you know, ownership on your own part as a sales professional to stay educated on what's latest and greatest and where are trends going, because that's when you're going back, when you're tying it back to what the buyer is looking for, you've got to be able to like ask those questions or bring up certain things and see where their heads or thoughts are at, because maybe they're already thinking about it, maybe they're not. But that's where your value add is going to be as a sales professional.
Where do you see that balance, since you brought up the sales enablement tools and the overwhelming options that are out there? The balance with the salesperson leveraging and using them, assuming they're actually using them, and then assuming they're using them correctly, and their actual role and purpose in the sales process, right? That balance of like, let me just automate these things versus let me try to automate everything so that I can just sit back and cash checks on the beach, that kind of hope.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see more integrated platforms. You know, I mean, this is just like me personally, like Microsoft bought LinkedIn, right? So it's like, I'm just kind of like waiting for the day when like all of a sudden, I mean, and there are definitely like LinkedIn integrate. I mean, LinkedIn has like their sales navigator, and I know there's like LinkedIn integrations with certain things, but like, I'm just kind of waiting for the day where there's like a more unified, you know, big platform, right? Where it's like, it's all like more together. And along those lines. So I'm also, you know, waiting because there's all this like, you know, customization stuff. Like you go to something like a Salesforce and it's like, there's like nothing out of the box, right? It's all like customize, work with an integrator, you know? And it's like, and there's some degree of value to that. But I also think people are looking at like, God, this is taking so much time and money. Like, I think there's this appetite for like, can you just like, give me the basics? Like for the love of God, like, I need a Ford right now. I don't need the Lincoln. I need a Ford, you know, just give it to me, you know? And so I think there's an appetite for that because people are just, it's the whole software as a service thing. It's nice because you can move pretty quick, but I think, and it's not just even with like sales things. I just think with other things, there's this appetite for like, can we just kind of keep things a little bit more basic? You know, and even when you look at, you know, from an entrepreneurship perspective, the exact name of the model is escaping me, but it's, you don't necessarily have to go like all full out, right? Like just like, what are the key basics that people are using and needing? And let's focus on that. And then you can, you know, you can do some building from there. Cause I think, and it kind of goes back to some of the stuff we talked about last episode where folks are just like from a change management perspective, like the threshold has been reached. Like people they're getting tapped out.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because when you're talking about, especially Salesforce, cause I have a lot of experience with them. And so there's the Salesforce sales people selling Salesforce into organizations. And then if you think about it, the buyer is then the organization full of salespeople who are then going to use Salesforce as their CRM to go sell other people. Then you've got the salespeople who are the customer of Salesforce, then turning around and selling, and just that empathy cycle that sometimes isn't there, where they're like complaining about Salesforce because it doesn't do the right thing. And then they're turning around and selling their SaaS solution to other people and not thinking about what that buyer is experiencing, but like they're a buyer from the other end. And that's where it's interesting because everything is sales and everything is buying. And it's like, where are you in that cycle? And then how do you translate that to give a better experience? What is your current answer or take on the thought, question, concept, fear of AI taking over sales and sales roles?
Yeah, it has in some areas taken over some like really basic things. It will continue to take over some basic lower level entry sorts of sales process and stuff where I know those of us in higher education where we get our little moment of like, where it's a little concerning, but it's something that we need to actively sort through is when you look at people that are going to be like new people in sales, whether it's someone who's graduating, who's currently in a university sales program or going to be graduating soon, or someone who's making a career change, typically it's those easier, less complex, lower hanging fruit type sales roles that people start off in, right? Because it's like, I'm going to do a follow-up because I'm going to like the sales role is like selling support or service contracts, right? Or it's selling a really basic entry-level product, right? Because it's an easier way to learn about the company and its solutions and like systems and processes. But that's also the very first thing a company is going to automate, right? And so from an education perspective, it's like, it's a little unsettling, but also exciting. That you can see some of the jobs that would normally go to like, tasks that would typically go to like an intern or someone who's like more entry level and seeing that getting automated by AI. Cause then all of a sudden you're like, okay, that makes sense. But then it's like, but how are we gonna train people? Like, where do people start? You know, like it's one thing if you're gonna hire someone who's got all these like years of experience and then they come in and it's like, cool, they're gonna like, you know, skip some steps, so to speak. It's not a problem. But if you're looking at people that are career changers or like, you know, the college age folks, you know, where and how are they supposed to learn? Right. And so then you look, I was like, well, if there's AI, if people are using AI to automate certain things in sales, then why aren't we using AI to automate things on the buy side? Right. And could we have AI buying situations as a training ground for sales professionals where you're, subjecting the seller to, and it could be, an actual role play with a bot. It could be, with different types of screens. There's different ways they can do it. There's actually a sales competition and a training program that a colleague at another university has done called Rainmakers, where it's human salespeople, but they're role playing with an AI buyer bot. There's a place for that. It's not all one size fits all, but there's a place for that from an educational perspective and also a training perspective in the sense of, well, if I can't interact with a human that's going to be the buyer, but I need the practice and I need the learning and I need the education, how am I going to get that, right? And there's always role playing with a coworker and a colleague, but you could also use AI on the buy side to, role play however many times you would want with the AI, buyer bot to see what works and what doesn't work. And granted, there's some kinks. There are absolutely some kinks on the AI on both sides, on the buy side and on the sell side. But I can absolutely see whether it's universities and or selling organizations where, we're going to see AI come in more on the buy side and on the sell side, and it's going to create and has created an education and a training shift, because when you've got new hires, you've got to find a way to still train them. And the AI is taking away some of that training opportunity, but it's also a way to backfill training opportunity.
No, it makes total sense. And I think even that last part you're talking about with the training and that part, it's that simulator. And I've heard, great things about that Rainmaker program. I've also heard other people complain about it and say it's not realistic enough. And then I'm thinking, like, no simulator is going to be realistic enough. Right. If a simulator AI, whatever, is so good, that's when you should really be in trouble for your jobs. Right. Because once it's gotten that good, then that's when it's going to take over roles, right? Which will happen at some point. But as you're talking, I'm thinking about golf, which I'm not good at in any way, but the difference between a golf simulator where you're, hitting on a practice mat into a screen with a camera and it's showing you where it's going. And then you're learning how to swing better, trying to say oh, that's just real golf. And if I do that, I will be perfect at golf. I'm going out on the course is going to destroy you in different ways. It's not fair, right? But it does help. It's better than just walking on and going to the tee box and hoping you could just figure it out, which is what some salespeople and organizations do. So I think you just have to have the right expectations. It's your customer expectation management again, right? Which is, what is this simulator? What's the expectation of what you're going to get from this AI and this value, even the sales enablement tools? What are you going to get from it? And then what do you still have to do? Because it's not going to close deals for you.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, because even with when you take a look at our curricula, right, we've got all these role plays, as do other university sales programs, all of these role plays built in, right? And we do face-to-face role plays. We do phone role plays. We do Zoom role plays, individual role plays, team role plays, right? We do those things in our program, right? Because we're trying to simulate. We even have a simulation, a sales leadership simulation that we built in-house. Right. Where you can change the industry and who's on the team and change the training plan, the compensation plan. They pick their territory. Right. And it's this ever evolving thing. And even with the national sales competition that we run. Right. It's a face to face competition. We chose something that we're going to be selling more complex, introduce the channel element. But at the end of the day, we've grounded as much in reality as possible. But it's all about the preparation, because that ultimately, you've got to get out there and actually pick up the phone, get on the Zoom, walk into someone's office, depending on whatever, or in some cases, texting and different things. I mean, when I started in sales, and I guess this dates me to some extent, when I first started in sales, it was such a cool thing for the customer to give me their cell phone number. I really knew, oh my God, they really like me. They really trust me because I've got their cell phone, right? And they know, and I'm not going to use that, you know, just at any old time. I got to be really judicious about when and how I'm going to use that. But like, it was such a high for me when I got someone's cell phone number. And nowadays it's like, whatever, you know, it's like, well, I'm not at my desk. You need to call or text me and stuff. And it's, I mean, and admittedly, I have certain customers. I mean, and it's not the whole basis of the relationship, obviously, but it's knowing when and how to use different types of communication tools to interact with folks. So, and I think it goes, it's the same thing with the AI. It's like, when and how does it make sense? Because what we stand to lose if we're not careful is the relationship aspect of it, you know, and having the right type of insight and institutional knowledge and knowledge of the folks that are making decisions to say, I think you're making a mistake, or I think this is the option we need to go with, and here's why. I mean, whether you are the seller selling into an organization or you're selling internally because you're on the buy side, but you're selling internally, it's, we need to be mindful of the fact that we still need to keep those relationships in intact, and we need to still connect with each other, because if we let AI run all of it, you know, it's still, I mean, it's very, it's doing great things now, but it's imperfect. It's going to it's always going to be imperfect on some level. We're also imperfect as humans, right? But it's, there's some things that we stand to lose from that relationship perspective to really understand, you know, where someone else is coming from, and to show that authenticity and that sincerity. I'm like, no, I care, you know, because the AI doesn't care. You know, I mean, the AI is kind of like, these are your goals, like, you know, yes, no, this is going to work, right? Whereas it's, because it makes a difference, because when things go south or they don't work out great, you know, is AI going to fix it for you? You know, like, no, no, you're going to pick up the phone, you're going to fire off an email, and there's going to be a person that's going to have to try to like figure this out and help and walk you through stuff. You know, and the other part of it is too, is it's, and this is me just getting like a I worry about people having stunted critical thinking skills, because if we offload too much the AI just in general, then what happens to our human critical thinking skills and our human creativity? Because we're just, you know, the AI will tell us which option is best or what our implementation timeline should look like or how to troubleshoot something. And granted, the AI is informed by humans, but it was informed by the humans that had the knowledge because the humans wrote the AI. If you're just the user of the AI, what happens to your critical thinking skills, to your creativity, right? And then how do we ever expect the AI to continue to evolve if we're stunting our own critical thinking and our own creativity on it, you know? And we're already seeing that, you know, with other things where there's so many different services people outsource. I mean, this is just me, like way too much, right? You can get your food delivered, your groceries delivered, your lawn mowed, your house cleaned, your finances automated, all of these different things. And here's the thing, on their own, it's not a bad thing. And there's certainly a time and a place for certain things, but we're positioning so much now as like, you don't have to clean your own house. You don't have to plan your own meals. You don't have to cook your own meals. You don't have to do this. And it's like, and you wonder why mental health, like, and it's not the only reason, right? There are a multitude of reasons, but it's like, you wonder why people have this lack of sense of like a sense of accomplishment and a sense of confidence. Cause it's like, you're not doing basic stuff for yourself anymore. So like, believe it or not, that little high from like, my house is clean, my lawn is mowed, I made a well-balanced meal tonight. Like, you're losing all of those little cathartic highs because you just keep outsourcing things or it's like, and you know how much money you have in your accounts and bills are paid. It's like, you're losing your little cathartic high. And because all of the other things that are in front of you are just too big. You never built yourself up.
Yeah. And I totally agree with that. It makes absolute sense. And I love what you said too about, you know, the AI side. It's funny because, you know, what you said, and this is what happens in sales and it happens all the time, is when something goes south, is AI going to fix it? Just like probably everyone's had that experience of going to the grocery store, going through self-checkout, and then something not working and screwing up, right? Like, it can't fix itself and tell you why it can't do this. Like, it then flashes a red light and then an adult has to come over and override things or fix things or chastise you or the machine or something. But like, like that's just how it goes. And so right. where is that balance? And you have to, you know, understand your part in the process, which I think is so important. Final thoughts on the future of sales, whatever comes to mind in addition to what you were talking about.
Yeah, I think sales will continue to be the cutting edge of how we continue to help and serve each other, because it's the lifeblood of any organization. Like every organization exists to serve their customers, right? And it's not just, you know, for-profit entities, it's also nonprofits as well too. You know, we all have jobs and roles because we're here to serve other people. And so I think what's exciting about where the future is at and things with like technology and other things, I think this is a very active cycle of what should be very active reflection on who are we serving and what is our goal? What is our purpose? And what are the things that we do that make that are us, that are unique and strong and different? And I think it's an exciting time to really better understand our value as humans and our value as individuals and the value of our organization. So, and there's going to be some casualties along the way, but I think this is a really exciting reflection time. And I think ultimately things are just going to turn out stronger and better for those that are willing to change.
Makes sense. I totally agree. And I love what you said, because, you know, the reason it's cutting edge, at least if I understand it, is sales is cutting edge because it's got to be, because either the product is changing, the economy, the environment, the buyers, customer the buyer's wants. Needs, like everything is dynamic. It's mm-hmm. not like, let's say you're doing accounting. The rules of accounting are always the same. Like that's just like, that's what it is, right? You could be creative, but you also have to be careful not to be too creative. In right. sales, you're dealing with a product that's changing, a world that's changing, and buyers who are human, and so that's changing and messy. Right. And so yeah. I love yeah. that it's yeah. the service, you know, delivery, the cutting edge.
I think we're gonna see changes with like service delivery and stuff too, because it's like, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah I think all that's true, and I'm excited to see where that goes and how sales adapts and changes, moving towards being a profession filled with more professionals who really understand their value and you know, understand how to leverage technology in the way to create efficiencies that then help them focus on the humans, which is what the salespeople are there for. As expected, I knew this was going to be a great conversation. I've been looking forward to this. This was super fun. All three parts, from authenticity to persuasion, future of sales. And, you know, like I mentioned, the other episodes, it will be in the show notes for people tuning in. You want to find out more about what's going on in the University of Toledo's sales program. You want to connect with Deirdre. You want to get involved in that program, or, you know, just learn more about these kind of programs. You can find the links in the show notes for her LinkedIn, as well as the University of Toledo's sales page. Again, Deirdre, I can't thank you enough for your time and your energy and your wisdom and all the stuff that you shared and you know, what you're giving to the future of sales with each of the students that you have in your program. So thank you for all of that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the opportunity, Jason. I hope this information, insight was helpful for folks.
I know it was. If they took half the notes that I did during this conversation, and I live and breathe this, and so for all the stuff that I took, if anybody watching or listening took half the notes that I did, then it's going to help them in some way, which I know is what's valuable. And that's why we're here, help shift the way sales is done. And please make sure to support this if you're listening, watching, tuning in. Things you can do, like share this episode, share this whole episode series, connect with Deirdre online, you know, engage with her content, just get more of this out there so that, you know, it's just awareness level is higher and higher for people out there in sales and realizing there is another way or another approach or things we can do to get better and more effective. So thank you everybody for tuning in. And as always, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.